I think that one thing that we don't always remember when we read Scripture, especially when it's a letter, and 1 John is a letter, is that we need to treat it as a whole and not just pick out the verses and fragments that appeal to us. Now, I know we all do that, right? Aren't there certain pieces of Scripture that we pick out and ignore the rest? Letters are addressed to a certain individual or group at a certain place and a certain time. Now, for most of the letters in the New Testament, the opening verses set the stage for what's to come afterwards. Now, in the case of 1 John, which Linda just read from, it's the first two chapters that give us what we need to understand what comes in chapters 3 and 4. Now, in those chapters, John reminds us that our faith is grounded in the absolute truth that Jesus has died for our sins, and that now we have perfect fellowship with the Father and the Son. That's the joy and the hope that we've been holding on to since that glorious Easter morning, perfect fellowship with God. For John, that can only mean one thing, and that is that because we have perfect fellowship with God, we're called to have perfect fellowship with each other. That's where our forgiveness in Christ is supposed to lead us to. And it's the reason we've been forgiven in Christ in the first place, so that we can have perfect fellowship with each other. Now, the first Sunday after Easter, we talked about how Christ was made known to us after his resurrection by his invitation to touch and see his hands and feet. And it's by the work of his hands that we experience his love and his care for us. Now, last week, the Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 3, the earlier part of chapter 3, reminded us of God's love for us. He told us that we were God's beloved children and that we were to look forward to what we were yet to be as we live in and are filled more and more each day with his love. Now, today we hear John take us in a different direction. He challenges us to live out and live out of the love that God has for us by loving each other. And more importantly, to live out that love by helping those in need. And that's the reason for which God has saved us through Jesus Christ, not just for our own benefit, although that's important, but for something better, something much, much better. Because when God chooses to save us, it's never just on our behalf, but so that we can all share in the blessings of salvation with each other, so that we can be in perfect fellowship with each other. That's the answer to last week's sermon when John posed this to us. He said, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What we are to become, day by day and step by step and more, are brothers and sisters in Christ who love each other and carry each other's burdens. And that love isn't just supposed to be a warm and fuzzy feeling that we have for one another, but it's supposed to be active, supposed to be vibrant love that we live out in truth and action, just like Linda read a few minutes ago. Now, if you want to frame John's argument in the language of evangelism, like we usually wind up doing, then John is telling us here that the most proven and effective way of bringing people to Christ isn't by the words and the language we use, but by how much we show love to each other, in truth and in action, as he puts it. It's not how well we can talk about Christ and his love for us and others, but by how ready and willing and able we are to live that love out with each other, to show others that the love Christ has for us actually can and does make a difference in how we live. Because the world out there learns about Christ not by what we say, but by what we do. When we live out our love for each other by how well we compassionately share what we have with those in need, and at the same time make clear that we live this way not from or for ourselves, but from the love of God that abides in us, then we are indeed true evangelists. Then we're truly teaching people about the God who first loved us in Jesus Christ and asks us to love each other in the same sacrificial and risk-taking way. You know, if you want to lead someone to Christ, you can talk until you're blue in the face, or you can love them like God loves you in Jesus Christ. Which way would you rather learn about Christ? You see, loving our neighbor is all tied up in how we love Christ, and we can't separate the two. You know, most of what John is saying in 1 John is nothing new. All the way back in Leviticus, God says to Moses and the people of Israel this. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. No, Jesus did not invent that. It comes from the Torah, from the first five books of Scripture. You know, and as far as formulas go, it's terrific, right? For thousands of years, it has worked well. And you know what? It exists in most of the world's religions. Jews believe that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Hindus say that one should not behave towards others in a way which is disagreeable to oneself. Buddhists say you should not hurt others in ways you would find hurtful. Muslims believe that no one of you who is a believer until he desires for his brother that which he desires for himself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's nothing new, and it's worked for many, many years. There's nothing secret in that formula. Jesus endorses it when he makes it part of his great commandment. Love the Lord your God, says Jesus, and love your neighbor as yourself. But surprisingly, here in 1 John, and I don't know if you caught it, he offers a slightly different take on the same sentiment by adding one little bit more. He says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Did you catch that little addition? Believe in Jesus Christ, love one another. Not quite the same old formula. You know, almost 40 years ago to the day, back in April of 1985, Coke changed its formula. So for those of you who were around back in 85, do you remember when Coke changed its formula and it became what? The new Coke, right? Can you buy the new Coke? I don't think you've been able to buy the new Coke for at least 30 years. Why? It was pretty rotten, wasn't it, for those of you who tried it? I mean, Coca-Cola's been around since, I don't know, the 19-teens or 20s or something. It's been around a long time. Within 3 months, the old Coke was back on the market, and the new Coke was gone forever. And I mean forever. It seems that you don't mess with icons, right? Just how bad was it? The company received over 1,500 calls a day, over four times what they normally log. People talk like they were actually grieving, like for a person with this change in Coke. Even Fidel Castro hated the new Coke. And Fidel Castro said it was a sign of American capitalist decadence. I'm not quite sure what that means, but you know what, though? Bottom line, be careful when you change a successful brand because you might wind up breaking something that didn't need to be fixed. Anyone mess around with grandma's recipe and realize you've not done it any great justice? So what's John up to then? Messing with the slogan that we all know by heart. How dare he mess up Bible verses that we've known since we were kids? How dare he goes and change a Bible verse that's been a biggie for our children to memorize so they can get a crack at some free candy, right? Why, that's worse than changing Coke. But that's the genius of John, and he is a genius here. He says, we know love by this. And he's talking to his brothers and sisters in Christ that he laid down his life for us. I think John knew that the problem with the love commandment we already know is that it can easily become nothing more than a sickeningly sweet, sappy little sentiment, right? With people, kind of like people enjoying the taste of the old Coke as they enjoy tender emotions and charitable thoughts and all of that kind of stuff without remembering the why behind it. We don't just love each other because love makes the world go round. or because we like puppies and babies and butterflies and a good Hallmark romance. We don't love one another because of that. We love each other because it's at the heart of our salvation. We love each other because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. We love each other because that's how Christ knows we love him. We love each other because that's how others know that Christ loves them. He challenges his readers by asking them this, John that is, how does God's love abide in anyone who has everything in the world and sees a brother or sister in need and refuses to help? Good question. Where do you see God's love in that person? You don't. It's not there. If you have it, then you can't help but live it. And if you're living it, then you must have it. Love and action cannot be separated in God's love. Love is seen in action, not in words. Because God knows talk is cheap. And this world and each one of us needs and deserves far more than just some more cheap talk. We need to see the love of Christ acted out by our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to do the same for them. John summarizes his new formula with the words, believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another. He links belief in Christ with love for one another, knowing that the best example of love that we will ever see is the sacrificial life and death of Jesus Christ. Because there's no greater love than this, as Jesus himself says, that one lays down one's life for their friend. And then John goes on to tell us that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have life eternal. And where there's love, there's life, abundant life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Life in his name, eternal life, abundant life, the way, the truth, and the life. Life, life, life. Life in Christ is not the same old formula. It's a new one based on believing in Christ and loving one another. And for those of us who are alive in Christ, abundant life awaits us. Believing in Jesus and loving one another draws us closer to God and one another and lets us live out that love in truth and action, as John would put it. It's a new formula, and this new formula is 100% guaranteed to be better than the old formula, unlike the new Coke was. For this we were saved by Christ's death on the cross, not just so we can claim the benefit for ourselves, but more importantly, so that we can become instruments through which God can love the world, letting God use us to love the world. We've been saved, not just so we can be at peace with God, so that we can be God's heart and hands and voice to the world that God loves enough to send God's Son for. That's why you've been saved, to love in truth and action, to be an evangelist for Christ by the way you live and by the way you love. Because neither God nor this world needs one more person who professes to believe in Christ. And no one needs any more sappy sentiment that has nothing of substance behind it. What God and this world really need is for one more person to believe enough to live out that love by giving to others from what they've been giving and loving others from the love God has shown them in Christ. Are you ready for that? To live your faith in that wild, crazy way? I mean, talk is indeed cheap after all. So give it a try. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. So here's a quote that I'll leave you with that I think sums it up nicely. And it's a good thing to remember as we begin yet one more brutal and soul-sucking turn of the re-election wheel in our state and in our country. It's lightning that strikes, not thunder. It's lightning that strikes, not thunder. There is a whole bunch of thunder around these days, and there will be in the days to come. Very loud and very deafening thunder. Seek after the lightning. Amen.